Welcome to the Desert Sanctuary with Carl and Laura Forehand.
Often when we have doubts about religion or simply want to ask questions, it can feel like we are wandering out into the desert.
We would like to invite you to join our sanctuary, the Desert Sanctuary.
We've tried to pick guests that would resonate with and challenge us and our fellow seekers here in the desert.
We believe that a key to the journey is to keep asking good questions, and we believe that all stories are sacred.
Our hope is that you will find life and healing for your body and mind, and that you will be able to be where you are and be who you are.
And now, here is our show. Hi, welcome to the Desert Sanctuary Podcast. I'm Laura Forehand. It's just Carl and I today on the podcast because we are going to be starting a series, if you will, on the Leaning Forward book that we published about a year ago in the fall of 2023. So we're going to discuss prayer today and possibly like what we feel is wrong with prayer or misleading about prayer, maybe what is triggering about prayer.
Maybe all of the above.
Maybe all of the above. It's hard to say. We're just going to kind of go with the flow and just have a good discussion today about prayer. It is kind of a sensitive topic for a lot of people.
It is. That's what I was thinking too.
I even think people that are deconstructing, it's kind of sensitive depending on where they are in their journey. It may still be a little, you know, tricky of a subject because maybe they still incorporate prayer. I know when I was at the beginning of deconstructing, and even sometimes still, like if something really hard is going on in life, it's hard not to kind of want to revert to the old begging God for, you know, healing or begging God for restoration or whatever. So,
yeah, it's just woven into the fabric of most religions and all different brands of Christianity. And like you said, even in the deconstruction field, people have certain feelings about prayer. And we just want to talk about ours, right, today.
Right. Yeah. So first of all, like, what has your experience been with prayer?
Yeah. So I started off and wrote blogs for all of these. In addition to, there's a chapter in the book for each of these. Mm-hmm. But then I kind of condensed it down into a blog. And in there, the first thing that came to my mind was the "Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep" prayer, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
From 1781. It was written in New England. And it says, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." And that's what we prayed with children.
We, in my home growing up, we prayed that every night. And we would end it with "God bless." And, you know, we'd be like, "God bless Mom and Dad and Lisa, Laura, Karen." We would name our siblings, right? And then I can't remember what else we said after that, but yeah.
So at lunch, since you're a Lutheran, you probably said, "This gifts the Lord be blessed." What's the thing?
I really don't know what we prayed at the table. Yeah. Oh, I know. It was something like, "God is great, God is good. Let us thank Him for our food. Amen." Okay. I think that's what we said.
That's kind of the old default Baptist lunch prayer.
Is it? I didn't realize it was Baptist. Yeah. Okay. I'm pretty sure that's what we... I'm pretty sure that's what we prayed every night before dinner. Yeah.
And other Lutherans in my family say something like, "Something the best, the Lord be blessed." They say that all the time when they eat. I don't know.
Yeah.
But we always had, we eventually evolved into "bless the hands that prepared it." And you added some little things onto your prayer. But it was pretty much always the same. The problem I have with this little prayer is it starts off, and you know, that our soul is in danger. You know, it's in danger of being left behind. We want to remind God every night, "Hey, I still want to be included in this eternal plan you got going." And but then also it invokes a lot of fear. You know, it's a be afraid, but it's okay, right? And we just keep injecting that every night. I don't think that prayer does anything for us. If God's a real parent, that seems like a silly prayer now.
Yeah. I really wonder if, you know, I've had this for years, you know, just trouble falling asleep at night. And I wonder, you know, how much of that is just because reciting that prayer, you know, it really does. Even if you're reciting something and you feel like you're just kind of going through the motions at first, you know, those you're trying to process what those words mean. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what we do with our English language, is we're trying to make meaning of the words that we say. And so, like, just thinking back, you know, 5, 6, 7 years old saying, if I should die before I wake, I mean, that creates a lot of fear.
It's traumatizing.
What? I might die tonight? Like, yeah.
Yeah. And if I prayed with one of my kids, keep Jordan, keep JD safe from the monsters in the closet. Uh-huh. That's all he's going to think about the rest of the night, is the monsters in the closet.
Right.
And he's not going to feel any safer. You know, it's just going to remind him of what's the danger out mm-hmm. there. Mm-hmm. And the danger is my soul's seems to be in danger of being swept away at any time. Mm-hmm. Remember, God, don't let my soul get away from me here while I'm sleeping, trying to get some rest.
Or basically, if I die before I wake, you know, I fingers crossed I go to heaven and go to hell, you know.
Yeah.
So, wow. Like indoctrinating little babies, basically. And when you're 5, you're still, I mean, so much of your brain is undeveloped in your
very formative years. Yeah.
And this is a thing that we pray and we tell our children, and they're trying to make meaning of that.
Yeah.
And this is really hard.
A lot of mainline denominations say there's nothing, you know, there's nothing traumatic about mainline denominations. We're not like the evangelicals. We're not as weird as they are, or whatever words they use. But there's a lot of traditions like this that just incorporate that fear early, and it keeps people in the fold because they have to keep coming back. So,
but I think then, you know, like even into adulthood, like now it's like, well, maybe that could have something to do with some of my sleep issues, you know, even today.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think there's other things that stem from that, but I can't help but wonder, you know, because I've always had this weird fear of death. Like, I don't, you know, I don't want to die. And I'm not saying that people are going around going like, I'm okay if I die, but almost this like overwhelming, gripping fear of it. Mm-hmm. And it's taken me a while to kind of, you know, settle down in that. And that's been part of my deconstruction journey as well. So, you know, that's one prayer that we might have prayed as children, or like you said, around the table at dinner time. You know, we had our rote prayers that we said, but, you know, how do you feel about prayer services? I mean, was that anything that we did when we were?
Well, I think basically we weren't entertaining enough. I've been to prayer services, and I've been, you know, when I was growing up and things like that.
Okay, well, let me ask you, like, what is a prayer service? Like, what's the difference between a prayer service and just, because I remember in the churches that you pastored, you know, you would have, like, we would take more extra time to, like, kind of get together with people and just pray. How is that different than, say, a prayer service? A
prayer service basically is a performance. Several people might get up in front and pray for certain things, and the pastor, and it lasts a long time.
Oh.
And we just never got good at that in our smaller churches. First of all, no one else. I remember asking, one time I asked, there was a pastor, kind of a pastor that sort of was attached to our church, but his parents went to our church because he was somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And I remember asking that father of a pastor to pray at the end of the service. I always ask someone at the end to pray to close us out so I could walk to the bank. But I remember that 60, 70-year-old man saying, no, I'm not going to do it. And, you know, a lot of people in the smaller churches don't want to pray in front of people. And I wasn't, you know, the entertaining type of pastor, kind of short services. Let's get this over with. So, I mean, that more than anything, I mean, we always touted prayer, you know, believed in prayer, did it at every service,
right,
and so on. But we didn't get into the prayer services, you know, or healing services or, you know, casting demons out services.
Right.
We just stuck with mainly the one thing and then maybe a youth service. But it wasn't really a big thing. And the same with liturgies. In the Baptist church, you don't use liturgies too much, or some people call them now well-crafted prayers, you know, borrowing other people's prayers or reciting things during services. And I think there can be some benefit in some of that stuff, but it did never set right with me. You know, when I'm talking to someone, I want them to tell me what they think.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Not what I or someone else has said.
And you have to take things in context too. I mean, if you're borrowing from a, you know, 400-year-old prayer, I mean, the context of today's world, it may not hit the same way. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But I think what those well-crafted prayers and liturgies do is it keeps us reciting the same things and reciting the creeds, and it keeps us all in line. So we're all saying the same things and speaking the same language and repeating it every week. And I know you've been through some of that as a Lutheran, but it, you know, in my mind, copying a prayer and reciting it is like copying a sermon or kissing my sister. You know, it's not, it just doesn't work. It never worked for me.
Yeah.
Even in my deconstruction, when some people talked about that, it just didn't work. So.
Yeah, and we went to like a prayer school, and like we tried our best to say some of the old borrowed, you know, prayers and things like that. But I mean, when you're asking everybody to recite the same thing, I mean, I get that religions want everybody to be like-minded and things like that. And so maybe that's how they think we're all going to be like-minded if we're all reciting the same prayers. But we're not alike, you know. We all have individual personalities and just individual idiosyncrasies and things like that, to where a prayer, you know, if we recite the same prayer, that prayer might land differently for you than it does me.
Right. And it's just not organic. It's not authentic.
No. And we tried. I mean, and it was just like, oh my gosh, this is just like nails on a chalkboard. Just, we're doing the same thing every day. And it really wasn't, I don't know, for me anyway, I'll speak for myself. Like it just didn't move me the way I was anticipating that it would. Yeah. So
there was a form of prayer, I think, that was helpful for us when, you know, a lot of times at the end of the church, I would delay the service and say, we just need to be together.
Yeah.
You know, maybe there's a lot of tension in the church or something, or there was an issue that, you know, needed some time to think through, and we needed to all slow down. And so we prayed together, you know, find somebody to pray with. And in some ways that was regulating to me. And I think I understand it a lot better now that we've studied trauma-informed things, that we were connecting with another human being, you know, and slowing down and just thinking about one thing and just, you know, expressing our grief together or something like that.
Right.
And I think all that was regulating, you know, and you could say that some of the things within the church are regulating. They're helpful because, you know, you're connecting with other people. You're, you know, getting focused on a common cause and so on. So
I'm going to say, though, to a point.
So,
like, it depends on what kind of prayer you're praying. Like if I'm sitting there praying with a group of people and I'm sobbing because I'm such a wretched sinner, worm, mm-hmm. you know, scum of the earth. Right. And I don't think that's very regulating. So right. I think you have to be careful, you know, what is the type of prayer that you are mm-hmm. praying with people that brings about that regulation or that deep connection.
Yeah, I agree. I do, but then if at times you and that other person said, "Oh, I'm so sad because yeah. of what's happened to you, and I agree with you or at least connect with you," mm-hmm. I think that can be helpful. But like you say, it's to a point, and it gets, you know, if it's group loathing over how terrible we are,
right?
It's not necessarily good.
Right. So would you say, like, so you said, like, we could have that deep connection with each other through prayer, but what about, like, is it a way to deeply connect with God, in your opinion?
Well, let me just say what I wrote, okay?
Okay.
I said, it was a deep connection, but not necessarily connecting me with the divine. But in another way, I was connecting with God because my current understanding that God is in all things. So mm-hmm. in yoga, we say namaste, which means the divine in me honors the divine in you. If God is present with us, then connecting is a deep connection that also has spiritual implications. Even when we are focusing with people, which is a healing practice, there's a deep connection. And it seems especially spiritual, but, you know, I do yeah. have a lot of other issues with traditional prayer mm-hmm. that go way deeper than this.
Yeah, so what are your issues?
Yeah, so...
I mean, I have my issues, but I feel like yours are, like, more logical. Mine are just, like, bleh, gross.
Yeah, so if we're honest, and sometimes we were in Christianity, and certainly are outside of Christianity, but our number one thing is... I want God to do something for me or reveal something to me. We might be praying for someone else, but basically what we're saying is I want God to do something for me. He has the power, the influence, the money, the cattle on a thousand hills, if I need a cattle. Right. or a cat. Mm. So, you know, if you're using that metaphor of a father, so... we'll assume that God wants to give us good things like I do to my children. Because, you know, up until a certain point, I could do a lot of things for my kids, right?
Right.
So I could open doors for them. I could, you know, keep them out of danger to a certain extent. I could protect them to a certain extent. I could give them things that they desired. I could also... you know, give them things that were necessary. But, you know, traditional prayer in that way, to me, is a problem because, first of all, most of those prayers aren't answered.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, that's, there were too many, we said, well, God only gives you what is best for you. But there were too many times when that didn't happen.
Yeah.
It was most of the time. It's hardly ever that it happened, mm-hmm. you know, that out of the blue, you know, money came from nowhere.
Right.
Or, you know, or healing.
I kept waiting for that, you know, if you tithe, that'll be returned to you tenfold and like your car won't break down and all that stuff. And I'm like, that just wasn't our experience.
Yeah. You could twist the narrative. You know, you could... you know, well, you know, God's hard to understand. And so
yeah, I know.
We don't know for sure what he's doing. Maybe he's doing something better. But I think that all crashed. It, you know, it was always suspect. We've always wrestled with it. But when our grandson was born, mm-hmm. you know, it was like a crash and burn
yeah.
For us.
Yeah. And I still struggle, like, you know, people are just like, you know, we're praying for healing and we're, it's so tricky for me because it's like, I don't want people to not do something that is somehow bringing them peace for whatever reason. But I just struggle with like people going, yeah, you know, we prayed, you know, we laid hands on brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, and they were healed of whatever ailment. And then I'm like, you know, and somehow they give this glory to God. And I have found favor in God because I was faithful and prayer and all this stuff. But I'm like, but what about people that aren't quote unquote healed? Right. And
well, it's their fault, right?
Right. So, and that's what happened with me when, you know, we learned about our grandson and that,
but that's, you know. But that's nothing like a father or a grandparent. Right. If I could, you know, I would, and first of all, you know, we don't see Jackson as there's something
wrong.
That's
what I was going to say.
We understand he is what he is, but, you know, if I could protect my children, if I could help them, if I could give them something mm-hmm. that's necessary for them, that mm-hmm. they're, you know, they're hurting, they're struggling, I would do it as soon as I could.
Yeah. And sometimes you would do it. I mean, I think for both of us, we, like just in talking to our children, you know, and having those conversations, if we see a need, they don't even have to ask. We're going to maybe discuss between ourselves, hey, what can we do to kind of help soften this or lighten this load or whatever. I mean, they don't have to beg us. They don't have to, you know, sometimes they don't even have to ask us, mm-hmm. you know, we're just willing to do because we're the parents, we're the grandparents.
Yeah. And just go to an extreme example. You know, there's children and we've heard hundreds of stories. There's children that are being abused by men, by older men, by people in the church, and they're begging, crying out. What kind of father would say, no, that needs to go on?
You need that because it's going to like somehow bring me glory.
Yeah, that, I can't buy any of that at all. And nope. Kind of agree with Tom Ward who says God can't. Mm-hmm. You know, because if he can and he doesn't, then he's an asshole. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's no reason to someone that doesn't show up for you
right
when they have a chance to is not someone you go to advice mm-hmm. for. Mm-hmm. It's not someone you certainly don't worship them, and you don't serve them. And that's not the type of person that you pay any homage to, because if they don't show up in your life. Uh-huh. You know, and it's not just, I love the people that do things for me, but I mean, there's a certain expectation of right. people that love you, people that care for you. If mm-hmm. they can.
Yeah, they will do.
They will do.
You know, anyway. I just think it's funny because we've talked a lot about being trauma informed and trauma sensitive. And as you were saying that, I'm just like, God is absolutely not trauma informed,
right?
Because, you know, part of being trauma informed is that you don't like, excuse me, isolate, you know, ignore people, you know, mm-hmm. students in my case, you know, you try to you know, help resolve issues. And I'm just like, I can't tell you how many times, you know, I've felt like, where is God? Like, he's not even here. I'm crying out and nothing's happening. So I'm just like, you know, and that can just add on to whatever trauma you're already experiencing. You know,
I don't even like to make the dog suffer.
You know? I know that is a truth, y'all. No kidding.
I don't want him to stay out.
And not that I do, but I'm just like, I don't know. You want me to jump up at the first bark of that he wants to come in, and I'm like in the middle of doing something, and I'm just like, he can wait. It's okay.
Understanding is he doesn't have a large enough cortex to manipulate us. You know, he's done outside, and I think he's a little scared in the morning.
Yeah, it's so
to
dark,
be out
yeah.
there. It's dark, and so on. And his nighttime when he goes out, he comes back in really quickly. You know, so it's. I don't see a need to torment him, and I don't think that's what you're doing. Certainly, your heart's not there. But you know that's the kind of things I think about when I get into my issues with prayer. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, they're hardly ever answered. Doesn't seem like God cares. You know, it doesn't seem like he's interested, or maybe he can't even do it.
Yeah.
You know, maybe our bodies will heal themselves eventually, and sometimes they do. Uh-huh. Sometimes things kind of miraculous happen. We beat the odds and things like that, but it doesn't seem like God's, first of all, answering them. Doesn't seem like he cares. And in most cases, it seems like he really can't. He's not able.
I want to go back to that God can't, though.
Okay.
You know me. Guys, I have a cold, so I'm sorry if I'm clearing my throat a lot. But the whole God can't, like, to me, that also feels like, then why are we worshiping a deity that would still allow us to suffer? Mm-hmm. I mean, if he can't, then I feel like he's not as all-powerful as we've made him out to be.
Yeah. And I think the analogy comes from, like, well, okay, our daughter's, you know, like building up her income and going to school and facing a lot of challenges. So, I mean, realistically, we don't solve every problem for her. You know, she solves some of her own problems when she can. But certainly, I mean, and some of the things, and she doesn't like a lot of help. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we have to offer to help.
Right.
But certainly she came to me and said, I'm desperate. Mm-hmm. We, you know, I need $100 mm-hmm. because, you know, all this is going to happen if I don't get it. And, you know, and if I just didn't respond, that mm-hmm. would be the worst thing. And right. and that's what I feel in prayer most of the time, is that God's not even responding. He doesn't bother, you know, to let you know or comfort you or something mm-hmm. because of that. But I certainly wouldn't do that. I might tell her I don't have it. I'm not able to.
Yeah, but don't you think that we would do whatever we could to help her, like, get $100? Yeah, we'd move stuff around. We would make a way if she were desperate to get her the $100. Or we would be like, well, we don't have $100, but if you're going to lose your house or apartment or whatever, you can come live with us. I mean, we would do something.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, if God can't, I don't know. I feel like that's just a lame excuse, and I'm just not sure why.
And I don't we think God. I'm sorry.
I'm interrupting you.
I just don't see any evidence that God's, you know, generous and meets every need like that.
Right.
The only people he does that for are for preachers who collect your money. And then all their dreams come true. You know?
So is this God can't more of a, that's not who God is?
That's not what God is. It's more like that's not what God is like.
Okay.
God is not.
So I was thinking of it more like he can't because he just doesn't have enough power or whatever.
Well, and the current argument is God omnipotent? Is he all powerful? And the suggestion right now is no, he's not. He's not all powerful. That's not how he is. Mm. If he's more like an energy that's in everything, then he's the universe is working on your behalf, that type of thought process. But not he's an old man in the sky. He's the favorite. He's the grandpa above all grandpas that blesses us with $100 just when we need it. You can change the narrative and say that's happened. That happens all the time for me. But I think you're twisting the narrative if you say that.
Right. So would you consider prayer bypassing or not?
Yeah. I'll read you what I wrote.
Okay.
Spiritual bypassing is an epidemic in the Western Church. We may have accidentally done some real shadow work when we were trying to cast out demons, but it's time to stop demon hunting and get down to the authentic work of healing. It's not easy, and we'll have to feel it before we can heal it. So avoiding it only makes it come back in ways to blame on Satan or ourselves. It's just stuff we're avoiding.
Yeah. You know? I think ultimately it is blaming yourself, even if you at first blame it on Satan, because if Satan's attacking you, it's because you're not doing something right.
Right.
And so ultimately it comes back to
if I didn't
you,
if I didn't get
the problem,
if I didn't get what I wanted from God, that's my fault. You know, it's obviously
not enough faith.
I'm not working hard enough. Didn't pray in the right way. Not doing it right.
Didn't say the right words. Right. That was my whole thing with Jackson. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was just like, I just couldn't pray for quote unquote healing. You know, and I don't even remember where I was going to go with that, but I couldn't, because I was like, well, what if I don't say the right words? What if I don't pray enough? Like, what is enough? What is enough prayer? Yeah. What are the right words?
How many people do you have to have on the prayer chain before it gets answered?
Right.
You know, we need 10,000 more people praying so God will pay attention, you know?
Yeah.
And it's hard to extract a loving God from that, or a powerful God from that, all of the things that happen. I mean, we can make up narratives, but 20 plus years as a pastor's wife, and what we've seen since and what we've seen outside the body of Christ, outside the church, the organized religion, we see, I wrote something the other day that said, God treats me the same as he did when I was a Christian.
That is the truth.
In other words, he's responding to just as many prayers.
As
much,
yep.
I'm as moral or more moral than I was when I was a pastor. Mm-hmm. You know, good things happen to me, bad things happen to me. Sometimes things go my way, sometimes they don't. Sometimes I'm increasing in wealth and things like that. Sometimes I have a bad day in the stock market, you know, or whatever. Mm-hmm. But God, it seems like God treats me the same as he did when I was a Christian. So I don't see any difference. The only difference is that I treat myself better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I'm not beating myself up when things don't go right. Mm-hmm. I'm not wondering what I didn't do right for God. Mm-hmm. I'm not. People brag about when they become prayer warriors that they're spending 8 hours a day in prayer. Why? Why? That, and to me, I don't see the difference in those people's lives as I observe people here outside organized religion. Mm-hmm. Who don't pray like that anymore. But maybe let's talk about a little bit.
Well, can I just...
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just thinking while you were saying that. You know, that's why, like, when I see, like, professional football players, you know, or even college football players for that matter, or sports teams, you know, well, we're giving this win to, you know, we're giving it to the glory of God. And I'm just like... And there are people that have been praying for their child to be cured of cancer. And you think God wants you to win a football game. And I mean, I know people, like, I've heard people be snarky about saying that. But it's so true. And it's so detrimental. I wish people could understand, you know, before you get on camera and say, you know, I just want to thank God. Or even like an Academy Award actress or actor. I don't know how I feel about that, because I'm just like, so if you didn't win, would you not be thanking God? If you didn't win, would God not be on your side? And again, what about the people that are homeless, dealing with life-threatening illnesses, who have been praying, you know, talk about prayer warriors, who have been doing all the things, and yet their child still dies, or they still remain homeless or whatever. It's like, how, I don't know, like, before we thank God for winning a football game, I don't know.
Yeah.
I just think we need to take those, like, think about what those words mean and the impact that they can have.
I wish I'd have been ready. I could have played you Snoop Dogg. Snoop Dogg gave an acceptance speech one time, and he said, I want to thank myself for all the hard work I did,
and for all the
late nights I put into this.
That's right.
And athletes at the top level, or movie stars at the top level, have sacrificed everything in their life to do that. That's all they do, and they do it night and day, and they work out more than the other people. And sometimes, you know, they seem to be born with a certain ability, you know, and if you believe in God, maybe acknowledge him as a partner, whatever.
Yeah.
However you want to do that, but
I guarantee it didn't just happen. You were in that weight room working.
You won't
night
sit
and
on
day.
The couch and pray for God to make you an elite athlete,
right.
And then you become an elite athlete.
You have to do the work.
You have to do the work, and then there's things in your life. If that athlete breaks his ankle mm-hmm. in college, he's done.
Right.
And so there are things that you can't control, but there's certainly hard work to most things.
And, exactly.
And so, you know, saying, well, God just favored me, you know, or maybe they're just saying, well, I'm going to give the credit to someone else because, you know, but it just, it's not, it doesn't make any logical sense.
Right. Maybe they're just trying to look humble.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But there's nothing prideful about saying, I worked hard to do, I worked hard
yeah,
to get here.
Yeah, but we've gotten that message that
I sacrificed a lot of things to get here.
That is not the thing to say. Like, yeah. We're not to take credit for things. We're not to think of ourselves as, you know, higher or, but I think you're exactly right. We have like, but our dog might bark. He's looking out the window. No telling what he sees.
Yeah.
But you know, we have worked really, really hard, like for the various things that we have done in our lives, right. You know? So in your opinion, how are we starting to look at prayer differently?
I think one of the things that's really different in my life is that I'm thinking about prayer as listening. Mm. There's an old practice called centering prayer where you just sit and you don't say anything. You don't expect anything. You just try as best you can to, you know, calm some of your thoughts and put them aside and just sit and wait. And people call it different things. Centering prayer is the old ancient practice. But to me, when I can meditate and get kind of in that state like that, that helps me. You know, mm-hmm. It kind of goes along with the knowing, you know, and starting to access those things, you know, inside of me that are intuition.
Yeah, that have been there all along, yeah, really.
Yeah, just
that you were told were wretched.
Yeah, indeed.
But they're not.
Yeah. You know, in the morning, if I, you know, I struggle a little bit because I'm really sore in the morning. My hip hurts and uh-huh. It takes me a couple hours to work through that. But I really like that time in the morning just to be still and listen. And
what are you listening for?
Well, it's not for anything. Okay. I'm not expecting anything.
Okay.
But a lot of times it'll, you know, I'll come straight out of that and write a blog that's hefty, you
so
know,
what
based
do you
on a certain.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but I'm like, so you say that you're listening. So I want you to go more into that. So if you're not listening for the voice of God, what are you listening for? What are you tapping into?
I would say I'm totally open. If Yahweh or Jesus or whoever wants to speak to me, that I'm certainly open to that. I'm also open to some people have ideas about ancestors and mm-hmm. guides and things like that. I'm open to that. Mm-hmm. I sometimes kind of put up my defense. If you're going to hurt me, you know, stay away, mm-hmm. which there's still a little bit of that fear of hell kind of devil thing mm-hmm. in there. But it's literally not expecting anything. Just trying to calm all those thoughts, set them aside, and
so maybe it's like a receptive.
And just putting myself in a receptive state,
right? Rather than like, I guess that makes more sense to me than listening. I'm not that I'm trying to change your words or anything like that, yeah. But that makes sense to me because I always feel like listening, like, oh, okay, I got to hear something, you know, instead of just like, yeah, just kind of emptying your thoughts and leaving them open to receive whatever. And some of those could be your own thoughts, right? That maybe you yeah. have been too busy to recognize. So when you slow down, you can recognize some of your own thoughts.
Yeah. And I think it's like, sometimes it resolves mm-hmm. something I've been thinking about for a long time, but but it calms the busyness. Right. Where you can focus on that thought. And I do think, you know, there's something to our knowing inside mm-hmm. that's, like you said, it's kind of always been there. There's mm-hmm. there's an isness to us that's, you know, the yogis say, not the body, not the mind. It's not the body. It's not the mind. It's me. It's, you know, it's who I am. Mm-hmm. And I think those kind of, you know, that's where you access that kind of stuff. You won't access your, whatever you want to call it, your true self, your inner self, and so on, driving down the road. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not mm-hmm. going to happen when you got 10 other things to think about. It's clearing that up. And, you know, I don't doubt that as something magical, or I think that's available to everybody. I think when you can be alone with yourself, get mm-hmm. comfortable with yourself.
Trust yourself,
those kind of things. And religion obviously teaches you not to do that.
Right.
Because it likes when you're dysregulated. It likes when you're...
Well, when you're dysregulated, then you are searching for something else to rely on rather than yourself.
And they can put their arm around you and...
Yep.
You know, regulate you mm-hmm. and then give the credit to God. It certainly wasn't something you did or anything you need to be proud of, but it was just God laying right. his hand on you, God showing up. Why didn't he show up before? Anyway.
God's timing's perfect. That's why.
Yeah, I think.
Sorry.
I think prayer gets, you know, there's a lot of voices out there and so on, but I wanted to read this thing that's really important to me.
Okay.
So, you know, I have a lot of thoughts about when I do my sprouts or uh-huh. when I think about plants and things like that. I mm-hmm. think about the cellular level, the subatomic levels and all that stuff and how much... Well, just let me read it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I think there is a deep knowing even at the cellular level. Every cell of our body knows what it should be, and it's continually working for the good of the organism that it's a part of. Everything external to the organization, to the organism, mm-hmm. is not in the best interest of the organism. But even at the subatomic levels, the primary function is continuation, growth, and progress. It wants to survive. Not just you want to survive, but every cell mm-hmm. and subatomic particle wants to survive and it wants to progress. This is the way, this is why I want to understand more about how we are of God. If we proceed from the source, it is from the source that we get this proclivity to survive and to progress. This is what we should focus our attention on, not externally to some vision of God that man dreamed up over time, not through an archaic method of prayer that never really accomplished much. But when we connect with the divine in us, we are mostly already there. And I just thought of this, but I think what bigger churches, church organizations like is that when they pray together, then it in a way unifies them and they're more powerful. So they get their things done that they mm-hmm. want to get done. Mm-hmm. And they say, well, God brought us together or whatever. Anyway, but I want to consider all of this more like communion than any other activity. I don't even want to call it prayer. I want to say it's a part of my communion, my communing with my inner self. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the most important part. And I think prayer for Christians is the most ineffective thing in their life that they care about the most. Mm. So it's the most ineffective thing they're doing that they care about the most. Some will label me a heretic for even mentioning that, but like most things in organized religion, it needs a total and complete overhaul. This is a start. So if you want to take Jesus' advice, Jesus said, go in your closet. Mm-hmm. Get alone with yourself.
Yeah.
Be quiet. don't pray on the corner of the street. Get some stillness. Find that stillness. Find your inner self. Learn to trust yourself. And your intuition is going to grow. Then the right kind of guides will come into your existence. And your life will be better. But I don't want you to use my method. You know, I just think that so much about prayer is just toxic. It's not helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Never has been.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's the default way of bypassing.
Mm.
And we do really well at bypassing an organized religion.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. Well.
What do you find now? I mean, in your ways of
doing that's that interesting. Kind of thing. You know, you ask me that a lot. I get up really early in the morning. Some people like scoff at how early I get up.
Early.
Yeah. But for me,
before the dawn,
it's in that quietness of the house. It's in that routine of the day. I get to my classroom very early every morning. Like school doesn't
study
start till
your Bible.
Right? I do not do that. But I get to my classroom and it's the quietness. And honestly, it's not like completely quiet. I will have like in the morning when I'm getting ready, I like to listen to a really good podcast or listen to an audio book or something that just kind of helps get the thinking going. And like you said, you know, where you like the stillness, the quiet to kind of open things up to receive. For me, listening to a podcast, or right now I'm oh my gosh, it's just so hard to read all the books or listen to all the books that I want to listen to. But that is kind of my way of receiving things that are going to be beneficial in my classroom and in my life and in my communing with others. But when I get to school, a lot of it is just very quiet music that I'm playing and just kind of going about my day. But it is very regulating to me to do that, to be ready, to be centered, if you will, before like the busyness of the day starts. So like we're opposite in that way, you know, you sit and get very quiet to receive, and I'm not busy necessarily, but you know, I have found my ways of receiving things that are going to benefit me throughout the day as well, before the busyness, before things kind of, you know, have the potential of going off the rails. So it is kind of my way of regulating, of getting grounded. So, yeah, I think that's important. You know, there was a while there, especially when first deconstructed, and you would ask me that question like, so what are your practices? And I'd be like, I don't have any. And I would just kind of like make me mad because I didn't have any. I wasn't doing what you were doing, I think, is what it basically boiled down to.
What does that mean?
Yeah. I wasn't doing what you were doing. So I thought I'm doing something wrong.
Or what most people that are deconstructing are doing.
You gotta, but I think you have to find what works for you. And yeah, if it works for you, then it's perfect. You know, and whether that is blasting music in the morning and dancing, or whether it's, you know, making sure you don't get up till, you know, 8:30, 9 o'clock every morning, because you know that a good 8, 9, 10 hours of sleep at night is going to help you have the most productive day. It's like, if that is what, you know, works for you, speaks for you, helps you stay grounded throughout the day, then that's perfect for you.
Yeah. Some guy asked me yesterday, he said, why did you turn your back on God? And I said, I didn't turn my back on God. I investigated God.
Well, and here's what I want to say to that as I lean into the microphone. I want to say, do you want me to give you a list of the number of times I felt that God turned his back on me?
Right.
So, you know,
and I think
that's all I have to say about that.
I said I investigated God. I examined God, and I, you know, I found some deficiencies. I found, you know, this is not helpful. It's not working for me. It's not a good long-term plan. And like I said, he still treats me the same as when I was a Christian.
That's
not that I understand it the same way or see it the same way or interpret it the same way. But, you know, I have just as many quote unquote blessings. Mm-hmm. I have just as many tough days.
Right.
I have just as much wealth or lack of wealth or whatever.
Right.
You know, the difference is now I'm treating myself better.
I really like that. Before. Yeah. I really like that. And I'm going to completely agree with you. I have more grace and love for myself and other people.
Yeah.
I'm not continually beating myself up and blaming myself that, you know, this is a punishment from God and this is because I didn't pray enough or say the right words.
Yeah. If the main thing is to pray like we used to, and it has such poor results, like hardly ever works, but that's the thing you got to do, then you are going to be eat up with guilt and shame, mm-hmm. Discouragement. Mm-hmm. You're going to bypass things you don't understand. You're just going to ignore questions you should ask. But I think when you get real about it, yeah, you don't turn your back on God. You investigate God and you find mm-hmm. it's not what they said.
Right.
It's not, you know, and most of them are confused about what they said, you know, and just revert back to, well, God's hard to understand.
What advice or what would you say to people like that might listen to this podcast that are like, no, like prayer is absolutely 100% working for me. Mm. I mean, what would you say? Because I always feel like, you know, we've always said like here at the Desert Sanctuary, we're not trying to keep you from going to church if that is what works for you. You know, we're not trying to get people to leave the church. We're not trying to get people to like do everything our way. Like we don't want to be, we've said this personally, privately, probably on the podcast a time or two, but like, we would never, ever want to be, you know, the guru. I can't even think of a different word, but that's what I'm saying. We wouldn't want to be the ones that tell everybody what to do. Like, this is the way to do it all. Because that's why we had to leave organized religion.
Yeah.
Because it was supposed to be what was best for us, but it was absolutely what was most toxic for us.
So what would you say? If you want to pray the rosary, if you want to say Hail Marys and Our Fathers, or you want to, I don't think I would advise you to pray those prayers we talked about before. Now I lay me down to sleep mm-hmm. and make sure I'm scared.
But what about praying like your spouse is sick or your child is in the hospital?
You know, maybe if that helps you, if that regulates you, then it's helpful. I think you need to pull it down off the pedestal and really examine it.
Mm-hmm.
Not just say, well, my pastor told me to do this, or that's what we all do. I would say, like I say, with everything, don't fake yourself out.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you fully examine it if mm-hmm. you're going to devote your life to doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I said, putting your arm around someone else and praying together in a certain way can be regulating. Mm-hmm. It can be helpful. And it can bring you together with that other person and give them hope, you know, and things like that.
Right.
But don't fake yourself out. Just because the church has always said to do this doesn't mean they're right.
Mm-hmm.
The human race only discovered, you know, the things we know about trauma and so on 100 or 150 years ago. So we're evolving. We're mm-hmm. we're learning, and we should closely examine everything in Christianity to see if it holds water.
Right.
If it doesn't, just because we've done it a long time doesn't mean we need to keep doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, that's my opinion. I don't want to tell anybody else what to do.
Right.
Just kind of say, this is how we approach it. This is where we've gotten to. And like the guy I was talking to yesterday, you know, you're looking down on me because I'm not doing it exactly like you.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just as moral as you are. Mm-hmm. I'm just as happy as you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my life is just as good as yours is. Are you sure you're right about all that stuff?
Mm-hmm.
About all those transactions I need to do to make mm-hmm. myself more like you?
And I think that's what I would say. Like, if prayer is still something you are passionate about and want to do, like, I would just want you to examine the part of yourself that makes it all your fault when things don't turn out in the way that you had prayed that they would.
Yeah, and praises him for everything good.
Right.
It's my fault.
It's my fault if it didn't. Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to get real and honest with those things. And some of those things are very hard to face.
They are.
And you might need a companion that mm-hmm. just tells you it's going to be okay. You might need some therapy. Mm-hmm. You might need a trauma-informed person to walk along with you. Mm-hmm. You might need what they call an observer or a companion, mm-hmm. you know, that's non-judgmental, that can just validate what you're feeling. Mm-hmm. All those things. But I think you need to get serious about investigating those kind of things that you give your life to.
Right.
You know, we probably made that decision when we were 8 years old. Mm-hmm. I'm going to follow this religion because my parents did and mm-hmm. because my friends are here, and I'm going to continue on. But now your prefrontal cortex is developed, and you can analyze things yeah. and evaluate things. Mm-hmm. You can develop your own intuition. You can, when you develop your intuition, it helps you find the right guides mm-hmm. in your life. That's mm-hmm. important, but it's not everything. One guy can't stand on a podium every week and tell you what to think spiritually and emotionally, especially since most of them are a mess anyhow.
Right.
Most of the guys standing on stage have mental health issues. They're narcissists in most cases, if they're any good at it. Mm-hmm. You know?
Right.
And so you need to examine it yourself. You have to trust yourself. You have to. And it's a somewhat painful process, but we just can stand on this side and tell you it's worth it.
Yeah, for sure.
So nothing more controversial than prayer, right? So,
yeah, I know. Come out of the gate swinging.
But a couple of these episodes have already been recorded, but this prayer and a couple of ones coming up are really, really important. So I hope you'll stay tuned in. As always, be where you are, be who you are, and be at peace.
Thank you for joining us today on the Desert Sanctuary Podcast.
Remember, all who wander in the desert are not lost.
We believe all of our stories are sacred.
We are always here if you need someone to hear your story.
Check out our blog on Papios and also our YouTube channel.
And stay tuned for our Leaning Forward Conference.
Remember, we love you.
And be at peace.